baby. Gaura Vani Pracharani. Nivasesha Samyavadi Prashkati Desita. Om Akanatamanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya. Chaksas Samaditan Jena Tasmai Sri Yurve Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Vajshayana. We've been hearing the prayers of Queen Kunti, who is exemplary because in all conditions she took shelter of Krishna. She was in the world in the sense that she was performing her duty, even though we could also say that she wasn't in the world, because the world that she was in was the world of Krishna, and Krishna is not of this world. Sambhavam yap mamaya. He descends to this world quite differently than we descend to this world. He descends by his mercy, by his own potencies. And he remains always interacting with his own potencies. And he, as the potent, is in control of everything. Well, we, on the other hand, are controlled. We are controlled by the material energy, by Maya. And what is the cause of our being controlled by Maya? Is because we are tiny, we are insignificantly small. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya. Do you know that verse?
No ideas.
You know what language it's in?
Sanskrit.
Yeah, very good. Yes. Do you know what book it's from? Do you know what book it's from? Yes, very good, very good. Very intelligent. You weren't sure if I was tricking you first, yes? But actually, I was telling you the truth. It was from the Bhagavad Gita. And that verse in the Bhagavad Gita explains that this material energy, Krishna's Maya Shakti, is dratyaya, very difficult to overcome. And it's so interesting. I find it very interesting. One could be speaking very strongly about Krishna, one's consciousness is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and one is fully thinking about Krishna on whatever level one has the capacity. And one on the other side of the class is hearing about Krishna, and we're hearing about, yes, the material world is such a dangerous place, and yes, we just should give ourselves to Krishna. And then for a moment, we're all 100% sincere. And then the class walks out, and 7 seconds later, we're just... and everything is forgotten. This is Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharatyaya. That this material energy, the illusory aspect of Krishna's his energies, is very difficult to overcome. But there is a way to overcome it. Mayam etan tarantite. One can overcome it by surrendering to Krishna. That means an actual giving of oneself to Krishna. A giving of oneself to Krishna. And what that means is just from the core of our heart, acknowledging that I am Krishna's servant. This is who I am. I have so many other upadis. What does upadi mean? Designations. But what is a practical meaning of designation? Because if I say, you have so many designations, what do I mean by that? It means that so many people designate these things as me. Like I'm the person wearing the dark brown Kathmandu sweater, jumper, as we say in Australia. And male, born in America, Australian, I'm this, that, wrote this book, have 2 children, have 1 wife. And so many, these actually, with all due respect to all people concerned, these have nothing to do with me. These are all designations, or I think of the word as an overlay. They are temporary overlays upon the real person who I am. And who is the real person that I am? If we take off all the overlays, including the body and the mind, who am I? And this is the beginning of human life, when we ask, this question, who am I actually? Who am I always? These other identities temporarily, like I was a student in the first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade and a student in the university. And then sometimes I taught in schools as well. So from student to teacher, temporary identities. But who am I always? Who am I always? I always have that feeling of existing, of an identity, of that sense of I am. I am. But who is that I am? This is the essential question of human life. And when we ask this question of ourselves, we actually are considered humans. And before we ask that question, we have no greater consciousness than a dog or cat, or in Vrindavan, I would naturally say monkey. But if we would have monkeys in Perth, it would be a lot more exciting here. You'd be out, you'd hang up your clothes and they would come and rip them down. You'd be walking down the street with your bag of bananas and they would come and take them away.
Glasses?
Yeah, glasses too. Did you ever see those t-shirts? You know, they have one that says, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. And there's another one that says, I lost my glasses in Vrindavan. And there's a picture on it of a monkey going. They like the taste of the plastic for some reason or another. Raise your hand if you've ever lost your glasses in Vrindavan. Yes. The rest of you are not very fortunate. But raise your hand if you've ever been to Vrindavan. Raise your hand if you had never been to Vrindavan. Could you raise your hand right now? Who would like to go to Vrindavan? Yes. Have you been to Vrindavan?
No.
Why?
Oh, I haven't got an opportunity to yet.
Okay, soon? Yes? Yes? Please. Because Vrindavan is a different realm. In this world, meaning it is the world of upadhis, of designations. In Vrindavan, we get a sense, a clear sense, that there is something far beyond this superficial world of attempting, of futile attempts to become happy by moving around the material energy. Well, everyone knows, everyone should know that happiness is actually within. It's within us in our relationship with Krishna. When we always are seeking happiness outside of ourselves, looking for a different combinations of the material energy that will bring us the satisfaction that we long for, to manipulate, to move the material energy around, so that we can finally get the satisfaction that we long for. And it is a trap, actually. It is a trap. So to get free from this trap, we hear the Bhagavatam. We hear about Krishna. We chant Krishna's names. It's Nityam Bhagavata Seva, at least daily. We should at least read one verse of the Bhagavatam, at least daily, regularly. Or continuously be absorbed in the thoughts regardless of what we're doing. Chanting Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. And I think sometimes that this is really a lot. This is really the only thing that's going to stop me from being, yes, I want to give myself to Krishna, I am Krishna, and then walking out from the class, either as the speaker or the hearer, and then forgetting about it immediately and becoming absorbed in so many other things instead of being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, is the only thing that can end this this tendency to always chant Hare Krishna, always be serving Krishna, always be thinking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna. And the answer to that question, I've concluded. And even though we hear a good class, or there's a wonderful kirtan, and we may think, I want to just do this forever. And even though we may lose that thought, because we don't have advanced enough consciousness at this point, because the only thing that can keep us continuously absorbed in thoughts of Krishna is when we have love for Krishna. No one has to tell the residents of Vrindavan that you should think about Krishna. One time, actually, Uddhav, in a place called Uddhav Kyari, near Nandagaon, he, delivering a message from Krishna to the gopis, he said that you should, Uddhav told the gopis, the Braja Gopikas, that you should always think of me, you should know, this is the message from Krishna, you should know that this material energy, it is no different from me, and when you are dealing with the material energy, I am actually present, so there's no actual question of me being separate from you, and therefore you should always think of me. And the gopis said, what is this philosophy that you're telling me that we should always think about you? That's not our problem. Our problem is we can't stop thinking about you. And you are not here. You are not here. And we're always thinking about you, wanting to be with you. And that is breaking our hearts. This is love for Krishna. And when one has love for Krishna, the breaking of the heart and being separate from Krishna brings one so close to Krishna. Brings one actually interacting with Krishna, but on a different level, a spiritual level. And when one is with Krishna, one is with Krishna. And when one is not with Krishna, one is with Krishna on the spiritual level. But here, in the material world, we are so clever. We are so clever that we can be standing in the spiritual world, whether you're with Krishna or not with Krishna, you're with Krishna. But when we have material consciousness, if we are standing in front of the deities, or we're chanting Krishna's names, or hearing the Bhagavatam, whether with Krishna or not with Krishna, we're not with Krishna. Was that clear? Because the mind isn't with Krishna, and there's no love. And this is what's going to come out right now in Kunti Devi's prayers, is that how to actually be with Krishna, regardless of whatever life, according to our fate, we're all individuals. If you look around the room, you see that we have different clothes, we have different faces, there's never any two faces that are exactly the same. What to speak of two people don't even dress the same. The colors don't quite... But certain elements are quite... Tilak, Curtis, no socks, socks. So differences always. There's always differences. We're all individuals. And we have our individual fate to meet, our karma. And from what I've seen in life, that we talk about karma in a very philosophical way, but it's very, very difficult to be brave in the face of one's own karma sometimes. It's very difficult to be brave in the face of one's karma, and still more difficult to turn towards Krishna during difficult times of our life. Very difficult. The mind becomes very tense and frightened. But Kunti Devi is an exemplar of, and all the great devotees, they have mastered this, even at the time of death, by practicing it in life. Vishwasmato yunajatu chetsava vizina shedacha etya eva kinkara. This is actually, the whole life is a sadhana for this one purpose. We have good times, sometimes we thank Krishna, sometimes we get, the mind becomes feverish in good times and we forget Krishna. And in bad times, the mind sometimes remembers Krishna, oh Krishna, please save me. And sometimes the mind becomes so fearful and tense, we forget Krishna. We think Krishna is going to be somewhere else. But he comes to us, as we shall hear. Vipara santu tasya svad. Kunti Devi will say, as we'll hear later this afternoon, that Krishna, this is how a devotee actually thinks, that Krishna has come to me in the form of danger. Prabhupada once, during a very difficult time, during a time when the Japanese were bombing Calcutta, and Prabhupada, when the bombs were dropping, and when you hear him say this in a recorded lecture, tell this little story, he makes the sound of the bombs dropping. Pretty funny, huh? Bombs dropping. Yes, you. Don't look around and turn around. It was you I was saying. It's actually not funny at all.
It wasn't me,
Oh, no, I didn't think it was you. I was just testing you to see if you thought it was you. But Prabhupada said he was eating breakfast, and the bombs were dropping, Calcutta. And everyone, of course, runs for the bomb shelters at that time. And Prabhupada said, I'm not going. I'm going to finish my breakfast. Then you can laugh. It's okay. And then he said, then I thought, these bombs falling, they're also another aspect of Krishna's Visharup, Virat Rup, his universal form. But it is not a very attractive aspect of Krishna. But yet, nothing is separate from Krishna. Nothing is separate from Krishna. This is the difference between considering God as Ishwara only, which is the general Christian translation into Hindi for God is Ishwara. Yes? But actually, Krishna is so much more than the controller. He is the absolute truth, the Param Satyam. There is nothing in existence, past, present, or future, that is separate from him, including us. We are not separate from Krishna. Ma mai vangso jiva loke. Mama eva angsa. Krishna says that you are my part. You are my part, every one of us. We are part of Krishna eternally, jiva bhuta sanatana. We are Krishna's, but we are not acknowledging our relationship with Krishna. Turned our back, Krishna bhule seji. Bhule means forgetting Krishna. The jiva forgets Krishna. Bahyamukh, anadi bahyamukh, puts his back to Krishna. And the process of sadhana bhakti, the practices, the hearing and chanting, is just a process of turning towards Krishna. This is what Jiva Goswami explains. That sadhana is a practice of turning towards Krishna, from having our back turned towards Krishna, having our face facing Krishna. Facing Krishna means facing our relationship with Krishna. And facing our relationship with Krishna means that I am Krishna's. And facing towards Krishna and accepting that I am Krishna's gives one the ability to think that one is protected by Krishna. If I am Krishna's servant, then he will protect. I am Krishna's, I'm a member. Gotripte varanam tata. Accepting that I am Krishna's servant naturally causes us to place ourselves under the protection of our master. We may fight this designation as a servant. No one goes to the university to become a servant. We study science, IT, not to become a servant, but we end up being a servant of some cruel boss, unless you're working for Pratik. No, there are good bosses, but they are rare between. Rare and rare. They're very rare. Because no matter how much you serve them, they're not satisfied with you. They want more. And therefore, the relationship, you tend to want to not want to serve them, but to make believe you're serving them. Because no one's actually in the mood of a servant. Everyone is the mood of enjoyer. To become top. And this just doesn't work for a conditioned soul, because we end up serving anyway. We end up serving anyway. We can't avoid serving, because this is who we are by our constitution. We are servants. We end up serving anyway. So let us, on this day, become a little bit more determined, at least during the classes and kirtans. but become a little more determined to turn our serving nature towards Krishna. And then if we develop gradually faith and then fixedness and then taste and attachment and then finally love for Krishna, then it becomes completely natural to think about Krishna 24 hours a day and completely think about our relationship with Him. And like in every relationship, there are two parts. There are two parts of every relationship. One part is what my duty is in relationship to the one, the other one, the Vishaya, the object of the relationship. And then there is that object of relationship, that person's duty towards me. And usually, the problem in relationships is that we're always thinking what the other person's duty towards me is, and we neglect the part that is actually our responsibility. What is my duty in relationship to the other? We're usually minding the other person's business. And if your mind is always minding the other person's business, there's no one minding your business. And if you've ever run a business, and if you don't have your mind on your business, you know what's going to happen to your business. It's going to fall apart. So, will Krishna really protect us if I keep my mind on my business of serving Him and leave the business of protecting me to Him, which is His part, or at least part of His part of the relationship? Ask yourself that question. Will, if I really, really give myself to Krishna, will He really protect me? I notice no one's raising their hand to Him. And this is what we have to find out in life, because at the time of death, if we don't trust that Krishna is going to protect us, all the things that we have used to protect us prior to that, we will see that they will fail us, for sure. When you're dying, and someone, you're dying and in the pain of death, and someone says, would you like to use my credit card? You're dying and the pains of death, hard to breathe. Would you like to use my mobile phone now? I have a new iPhone 7. 7? Basically, you have an iPhone 7 already. No, because everyone will start looking around because he actually has an iPhone 7. Would you like to use, your own body, your heart, your lungs, you know, your strength, your intelligence, your beauty, it's all going to miserably fail at that time. And unless we've practiced in life, perform the sadhana of turning to Krishna, which comes so much from association with devotees, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, then seeing and serving, taking up service for Krishna and doing service for Krishna, you find that if you have to do something regularly, you'll find that there are many days you don't feel like doing it at all. And there are many days when you do service regularly that you go beyond your capacity. Usually, say if you're distributing books, and we can talk to Amyatnopapu about this, because some days everything works. You use all your intelligence and all the tricks that you've learned over the years and all the lines that you say. Are you from here or out of town? That's the one that really has stuck in ISKCON. Because, I mean, there's everyone has an answer for that. But some days you use all your tricks, all your intelligence, you use your best smile and nothing works. And then you have to go deeper, deeper, and depend on Krishna, pray to Krishna. Krishna, if you want, I'm trying to serve these people by giving them some knowledge. People are so stuck in the bodily concept of life, and it's doomed. And the people are stuck in this way, just like the donkey chasing the carrot, that he's never going to get except at the end of the day, and after working so hard, he gets one carrot. So please, if you want to use me as an instrument, let me do this service for you. I'm willing to be this instrument for you. and in that mood, then you're surrendered to Krishna. And if Krishna wants the person to take, he will inspire them to do that. It doesn't depend on you. And it's approaching the same thing from a different level. And this is the result of doing service regularly to please Krishna. Service means devotional service, something, and make an offering to please Krishna. And it forces one, if you do it regularly, it forces one to a different level of devotion. And that's where faith comes from. That yes, Krishna will protect. By chanting quality rounds, to make the attempt to chant quality rounds is beyond the capacity of anyone. Quality rounds meaning being there consciously with Krishna as you're chanting. It's beyond the capacity of anyone in Kali Yuga, practically speaking. But to make the attempt, sincerely make the attempt to try to be with Krishna is within everyone's capacity, because we're making the attempt according to our capacity. To hear the Bhagavatam, to read, to try to read it in the right consciousness, pick up this book anywhere and read. It's what Prabhupada wishes to tell you. And to sit at his feet means, and hear from him and Srila Sukadeva Goswami and the acharyas who have commented, means to sit there and allow their instructions to go into the ear, enter the heart, without anything else getting in the way. To make that attempt is glorious. And then later on, after you've heard what they've said, then you can think about it from many, many different points of view. What about this and what about that? But in the hearing process, it should go in very, very smoothly and effortlessly. This is proper hearing. So this is such an opportunity to pick up the Bhagavatam every day and say, what will Prabhupada tell me today? What will this book? You know that the Bhagavatam, there are so many Vedic literatures, and the Bhagavatam probably there's over 50, 60, 70, perhaps 80 some odd commentaries on the Bhagavatam that learned Sanskrit scholars who were devotees, who are learned Sanskrit scholars, they thought so much of this book, which is 18,000 verses that they've commented on all these verses. They've taken years and years in your life. They thought this was so important that they took years of their life to express their realizations and the realizations that they have gleaned through their years of sadhana, through their years of practice. They want to share with you what their realizations are. They wanted to open up to you the bhakti that's existing in their heart. And there are more than 80 great souls who have done this in different sampradayas and communities. And the nearest other Vedic literature that has commentaries, that has many, as maybe 15 or something, maybe the Bhagavad Gita has, or the Padma Purana has a few. So this Bhagavatam is so special. Pranam amalam prema pamartama and Mahaprabhu's word. So let us hear something. So Kunti Devi is one of these exemplars of devotion. And by watching her example, perhaps a little bit of her inspiration will enter our heart and stick there as some spiritual energy that will blossom into faith and finally into love for Krishna. So she said here, yesterday we read two verses of her prayer. This is the circumstances before how she's approached Krishna. And she was chaste, always focused on Krishna. When in good times and bad, she did not turn anywhere else but to Krishna. She saw Krishna in every circumstance that had occurred. And in this verse, she offered her obeisances to Krishna, saying that he was the original personality, unaffected by the material world. He's inside and outside of everything. There is nothing external to him. But yet, he remains Alakshya Sarvabhutanam, invisible. Invisible, although he is everywhere. Although he is everywhere, no one can see him anywhere. And then in the second verse of hers that we read, she explained why. It's because there is a covering of illusion that Krishna reserves the right to not reveal himself to those who don't love him, who have no bhakti to him. He reveals himself in different ways to everyone. Everyone perceives him, but unless one has devotion for him, he doesn't reveal himself as he is, as the Supreme Person, as the all-attractive, all-beautiful person. And it is most interesting. And this, and Kunti Devi, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Dev Thakur gives a comment on this. On this, as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Srila Prabhupada translates it in this way, and meaning that someone you know very well may have on such a costume that you don't recognize them on stage. You may know them, and they may be so expert in their acting that you think it's someone else, and then you find out later, they can't go, oh, this is the person I know so well. That's how Prabhupada translates it. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a little bit of a different meaning, and he explains that just like an expert dancer, he's playing with the rhythms and the movement of his hands have many, many subtle meanings that are exactly in line with the rasa of the pastime that he's dancing, the subtleties of it. But it's only someone who is an expert in dancing themselves can understand the subtleties of what he's doing. And other people, even though they're looking at him dancing, they don't see anything, practically speaking. So similarly, because of their lack of knowledge, they don't understand, even though they're seeing, they don't see. So similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that even though I'm seeing you standing in front of me, Krishna, I don't actually see you at all because I don't really have bhakti. I really don't have any knowledge. So let us move on to the next verse here. So who gets to see? And even Kunti Devi is saying here, there are two ways to translate this. Tata paramahamsanam, everyone together. Muninam mamalatmanam bhakti yoga vidarnatam katam pashemahi shriya. She's saying that you have come, the paramahamsas, the supreme swans, literally translated, but there's a particular type of rajahamsa that has a capacity to separate milk from a solution of milk and water and just extract the milk. So these paramhamsas, those who live in the material world but are not actually in the material world but can extract the spiritual essence, who can see the spiritual essence in everything of matter, because matter actually is under the control of Krishna and has its spiritual essence in everything that occurs in its very existence. So these people who are not really in the material world, although they appear to be in the material world, they're extracting the essential milk, the spiritual nature, the spiritual essence of everything. Those kind of people, they don't have any identification with the body. They don't have any tendencies to enjoy matter. And then there are the muninam, the munis, the very deep thinkers who don't look at things superficially. They're not excited when there's a sale at Big W this week or Meyer. Deep thinking. And then amalatmana means amala, atma. They are very pure, sinless, free from all sins in their consciousness, all tamagun in their consciousness. These are the kind of people that bhakti yoga vidarnatam. You give the process to bhakti, of bhakti, to these kind of pure souls. But who am I? Katampashemahi striya. I'm just a simple woman. How can I understand you? And actually, these souls, even though they are so qualified in so many ways and so pure, they actually don't understand Krishna. So how is it possible if they don't actually understand the subtleties of this person who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everyone, the controller of the universe? Universes come from his skin holes, and there is nothing in existence separate from him. And yet, And yet, Mother Yashoda is chastising him, and he becomes afraid. And tears are streaming from his eyes. Out of fear, actual fear of Mother Yashoda, he who is deathless, he who is eternal, he who is all-powerful becomes frightened of Mother Yashoda's chastisement because he has... Why does Mother Yashoda chastise Krishna in that circumstance? Do you remember? What has Krishna done?
Something naughty.
Yes, he has done something naughty. In this particular circumstance, what was the naughty thing that he has done?
Stolen butter.
He has stolen butter. And he has taken that butter that Mother Yashoda has churned from the best of cows, feeding the best of grass, because he goes to other people's houses to steal butter. So Mother Yashoda is thinking, perhaps my butter isn't good enough for him. So she's taken these Padmaganda cows and fed them the best of grasses and churned it and churned it and thinking of him and singing of him. And then he steals that butter, crying, and feeds it to those Vrindavan monkeys. And Mother Yashoda captures him and he begins to cry. Now who is going to understand this? You either think that he's an ordinary boy, and they talk about him as, oh, he's so powerful, he's God, or you think that he's God and he's acting. But it's neither of those two. He's actually frightened because Mother Yashoda is angry at him. And why is he frightened? This is a question for you.
Because she's angry at him.
But why is that frightening him?
Because he's going to get hurt.
He's going to get
hurt.
Hurt? What is one step in between, maybe? He's going to get
beaten.
He's going to get chastised and punished and maybe even beaten. And he's crying. This is very mysterious. What do you think? I mean, if you try to put the two concepts together, that he's crying and that he's the all-powerful, all-knowing, supreme personality of Godhead, and universes come from his skin holes, and he's crying because his Mother Yashoda is going... Yes, you would like to... Yeah, because it's very mysterious. So Kunti Devi later will say, this is bewildering to me. So how these Paramhamsas can understand Krishna? No one, practically speaking, can understand these Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. And this is the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's revealed this. What to speak of Krishna's dancing in the middle of the night with the Braja Gopis? Actually, I had the experience in when I was in Bangladesh. There were these, we were learning a little bit of Bangla from in a school that was run by Christians, secretly teaching Christian missionaries how to speak Bengali so that they could preach not to the Muslims, because that's very dangerous. But Hindus you can preach to, because they say anyway, whatever, anyway. Everything is one, anyway. And also, if we become Christians, they will put our kids in school, good school, and teach them English, and they can go to the West. So one of the teacher was actually very nice, but her nephew was a little bit arrogant. And he said, and they were so amazed we went there that these Westerners had become Hindus. And there they were, training the Hindus to become Christians. And so they were very amazed. So this one fellow said to me, how can you worship God, a God who dances with the wives of others in the middle of the night? So where do you begin? Do you know what God is? That if he does something, it is not like if you dance with the wives of others in the middle of night. He is completely transcendental. He has a spiritual body. They have spiritual bodies. It is not this material world is a reflection of the eternal spiritual world. Everything that happens there is no control of the modes of nature. There is no control over time. There is no lust involved in this. This is a spiritual exchange. No material bodies, spiritual exchanges. It is transcendental. It is beyond matter. How do you speak about what is beyond matter to someone whose mind is only filled with matter and they have no concepts of what transcendence is? They have no experience of the magic that occurs in a kirtan when you're actually absorbed in kirtan and is, in the words of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, with the bliss of the spiritual realm descends, you get some kind of a taste that has nothing to do with the material world, that is on a completely different level. Or when you enter Vrindavan and you just get this hint that there is a different level to existence than what I'm usually experiencing, or when you get absorbed in the Bhagavatam or absorbed in any service for Krishna and a different type of energy takes over your consciousness just for a moment perhaps. Well, the spiritual world is like that eternally. But of course, what our little experience is a little experience, but it gives us a glimpse of something from a different level that we can actually experience, that is far more satisfying than going shopping. Or even playing cricket, even if India wins. So how to explain this to this person who has no experience and has not only no experience, he has the wrong experience of what it is already by the strength of his improper teachings and the strength of his material mind. How do you explain that? And you can't, of course. So we change the subject, of course. What else do we do? Or something. I don't remember what I did, but we did something. So these kind of people, no one can understand. So how Kunti Devi is taking the role of a simple, humble woman and saying, how can I understand this? I can't. How then can we women know you perfectly? But actually, women or anyone else who follows the path that Kunti is explaining, they can know Krishna perfectly. If they perfect that path, they can live in that realm. They can live in that realm eternally, continuously, if they perfect that path. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his life, he was the perfect teacher of Bhagavad Dharma. He taught how to do this by his very life. And it is so much connected to being connected continuously. Kirtaniya Sadahari, being always in Krishna consciousness, to always being connected with Krishna by consciousness, and somehow making every aspect of our life an offering to Krishna. Somehow getting that depth of inspiration to make every aspect of our life an offering to Krishna. May Krishna, may you be pleased with this. Maybe I don't have full love for Krishna and I'm not on that platform, but somehow whatever platform I am or whatever my life is like, let me spiritualize it, make it, because bhakti yoga, this bhakti yoga vidaranatan, Prabhupada explains in one of his lectures that it is bhakti yoga means a direct connection with Krishna by the consciousness, by trying to please Krishna. An act that's done simply for your pleasure, Krishna. And therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam yomam bhakti prayasit bhakti paritam, offered to Krishna. If it's all done with bhakti, he mentions bhakti three times in that verse, then asnami, I will accept it, I will take it. What is offered with bhakti, with devotion, which means for Krishna's pleasure, I will accept that. When I try to chant one mantra and try to to be with Krishna by that mantra, to please him even better, please him by the way I'm chanting, just because it's pleasing to him. When I cook and make this offering, will you be pleased by that? I've cooked it for you the way you like it. Please be pleased by what I'm offering to you. Please accept it. I've cooked it for you. Or this donation, or cleaning the temple room, or decorating the deity. Here, I've worked so hard. I've had to tolerate having a boss. And now, the fruit of this work, I'm giving all of it, some of it, whatever it is, please accept it. And thinking that the Hare Krishna mantra means, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, oh Krishna, oh Radharani, please accept me as your servant. Allow me to serve you. Understanding that this is the greatest privilege of existence, is the opportunity to serve with devotion, the object of our service. And this, and what is really amazing, when one reads Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's some, of course, it's so wonderful, there's some very special parts that talk about the real amazing. The amazing thing is that in the Bhagavatam, it's there, of course. And it's there in the Bhagavad Gita in a subtle way. And in the Mahabharata, it's there in a subtle way. How Krishna becomes so conquered by his devotees' love that he wants to serve his devotees. He's not like a dictator up there and saying, if you don't serve... Let me do it properly.
If you don't serve me...
Can you make that reverberate? Does that have... It must have a reverb on there. Oh, we have to... Okay. I'll do my best.
If you don't serve me, you can never be happy.
How was that? You must serve me, and I am here, and I've organized things that if you don't serve me, you'll never be happy. And not only that, you have to serve me with love. It's not quite like that. Are you sure we don't have a reverberator? I'd even do it again if we could. No. Krishna is not that kind of a dictator. Rather, he becomes, he wants the devotees. Each devotee is an individual, and he wants the reciprocation with the devotees, part of him. And he becomes conquered by the little, the insignificant can conquer the supreme by their love. And then he becomes the servant of his devotee. No, let me serve. Let me serve you. You want to serve me with such open-heartedness. Now let me serve you. So therefore he drives the chariot of Arjuna. And therefore he protects the Pandavas again and again and again and again and again. And therefore, because of Srila Prabhupada's very complete desire to serve Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, Guru Maharaj, he gives him everything. And Prabhupada, knowing that Krishna is giving me everything here, that I'm not doing this on my power, he's very bold, because he's the servant of the all-powerful. So he can be very bold. So the humble prayer of a devotee when chanting, please accept me. Please accept my service. Accept me as your servant. Next verse. Now how can... She's saying, she's ending this with Kata Pashema Maestriya. Was that it? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes, Katam. Katam means how can we... How can I know you when these great souls can hardly know you? She's suddenly, indirectly going to answer it here by glorifying Krishna in this verse. Everyone together. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namah. Okay, you three. You four. Okay. Go.
Krishna Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govinda Namo Namaha.
Bahut badhiya. That's Hindi. Because I've seen one in the United States, you see these second generation Indians who are there, and they have Indian gross bodies but Western subtle bodies. But actually, they're very, very, very interesting because they can deal in both cultures so sweetly and so nicely, and they know Hindi, really awesome South Indian language. Excuse me.
Nothing.
Nothing. How do you say nothing in Hindi? You know? How?
Kuchne.
In Nepali, how do you say nothing? Say. In Bengali, it's kichune. So this is a very interesting verse. She's calling out to Krishna. She's just said that Krishna is invisible to everyone, and now she's identifying the invisible one who's standing right in front of him, all attractive and beautiful. And there's an ascending order in her names. Krishna, who's right in front of her. Krishna is the sum total of all names of God. Actually, I just heard a lecture where Prabhupada explained this. We used to say, I just heard a tape. But now, did you ever see a tape recorder?
No,
so you can't say those things. You saw one? In a book, probably. You Googled it, tape recorder. But now we say, more appropriately, we just heard a lecture of Prabhupada's. So these are all different names, and this is a summary of what Prabhupada said, why Krishna has so many names. God is named according to his activities. The activities with his devotees are his primary names, and his names in relationship with creation are secondary names. So what's a name of Krishna in relationship with his devotees that's not there? Raise your hand. Yes, yes. Yes, very good name. Very good name. Right? Another name of Krishna in relationship to his devotees. Raise your hand. Yes. Bhaktavatsala. Yes. Thank you. Another one. I heard one. Yes. Nandanandan. Someone called out. Gopal. Yes. Someone said it. Yes, another name in relationship with devotees. Brajendranandan. Another name.
Vasudev.
Yes, another name. Radhika Raman. Yashodananda, Shyamasunda. Oh, that's just describing him. Now, what's a name of Krishna that's a secondary name in relationship with the creation? Well, let's start with the four. Well, you said one before. Ananta, okay, he's unending. Yes. Ishwara.
Vishnu,
yes.
Narayan.
That's spiritual, from the spiritual Vaikuntha too?
Achyutam,
yes. He doesn't fall down from his position. Another one. Adhokshaja, that's going to come up.
Paramatma.
Karanadakshay Vishnu, Gobadakshay Vishnu, Kiradakshay Vishnu. Adi, yes. I'm pointing. Paramatma. Another one. One more. One more. Rishikesh, the master of the senses.
Parameshwar,
yes. And yes. So he has unlimited activities. Oh, yes, the primary names. What's the primary names? What's the difference between a primary name and a secondary name? What?
One primary is from the original source and secondary is from the, like...
Yes, creation. Good try, but wrong answer. Yes. Acts in relationship with devotees, right? Okay, write it down. We have the exam tomorrow. Yes. And secondary name? In relationship to the creation. So primary names, if you chant the primary names, they give prema bhava. And the secondary names give liberation. He has unlimited activities because he has unlimited devotees who have unlimited desires to serve him. He thus has unlimited names. The name Krishna summarizes all the names of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It means that he draws everyone towards him because he is all attractive. He attracts everyone because he is all attractive. He has everything that attracts anyone to an unlimited degree. He is all attractive and he draws everyone. Karsh means that drawing towards or attractive. So he attracts everyone towards him. So that all attractive person is standing right in front of Kunti Devi, who's invisible to everyone, and who the muda drishas, the foolish observers, can never see because they are foolish. So he is Vasudeva. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Because Vasudev is Krishna's father. So Vasudev is so fortunate because Krishna has agreed to become, to act as his son. And naturally there is such a loving relationship between father and son. So naturally Vasudev has so much affection for Krishna. So he's so fortunate. And also Vasudev, because Vasudev is fortunate, Kunti, being Vasudev's sister, is so fortunate too, because she is feeling also affection, vatsalya, parental affection. And Devaki Nandanaya cha, but more fortunate is Devaki, because the mother's love, what can we say? The father wants something from the boys. But the mother, anyway, whatever. Come, are you hungry? Do you need something to eat? So Devaki is even more fortunate, because her love is even more. And she was so fortunate, she carried Krishna within her womb. If Krishna was in her womb, does that mean that he was ordinary? No, because he's already everywhere. So he's in everyone's everywhere already. No different. And also, to prove that it was he's not ordinary, came forward in his Vishnu form with four arms as Vasudev. So Vasudev, and more love is Devaki, Devaki Nandana. And then Nanda Gopa, because the love of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan is very, very, very special. And Yashoda's love is even more. And then Nanda Maharaj. And then the last name of Krishna that she mentions is Govinda. So Govinda, there is a hint given here, because Govinda's name, who knows when Govinda got the name Govinda?
15 Govardhan.
Excuse me?
Lifting Govardhan Hill.
Yes, right after lifting Govardhan Hill. And who gave him the name Govinda? Indra?
Surabhi?
Good. Yes. Surabhi. What's the proper pronunciation of, as we Westerners will say it, Surabhi?
Surabhi.
Surabhi. Surabhi. Surabhi. Yes. Because Indra tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan, including all the cows. It's so astounding what he tried to do. Why did he do this? Raise your hand. Why did he do this? Yes, yes.
Because they stopped his sacrifice.
They stopped his sacrifice. Is that the correct answer?
Yes.
Yes? They stopped his sacrifice. You've stopped offering me respect and not offer this sacrifice. Therefore, I'm going to kill you all. Now that is a very extreme action to take, because they stopped his sacrifice, in my opinion. What do you think? Because you didn't give me the respect that I deserve, I'm going to kill you all. Not only you, but everyone in the village, and not only that, all the cows too. So is that possible, that someone could do such a horrible thing, think in such a horrible way, because he was neglected a little bit, or even a lot? What's your answer to that question? Raise your hand. Yes.
What was the aspect that he felt insulted because they were listening to this little boy rather than...
Yeah, okay, so you listen to a little boy, every mother listens to them. They take, do the mothers take this, and the fathers take the side of the teacher, or they take the side of the little boys who said all the things that the teacher did?
They took him seriously rather than taking him seriously.
Yes, yes, and insulted him. So therefore he decided to kill them all. So I say that's an extreme reaction. Yes.
When somebody becomes angry, the tendency can be to do something very extreme that they wouldn't.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Huh? Yeah. But there was pride, and he was insulted. And because of his pride, he became insulted, and then he became angry, and angrier, and angrier. And when one is angry, one is capable of doing anything. We may not do all the things that we think when we're angry, but that capacity in us is there. This, the capacity to do any and every terrible, horrible, unthinkable thing. This is the gift of false ego. False ego means running from our identity with Krishna, turning our back on Krishna, capable of doing anything due to envy, and pride coming from that envy, and anger stemming from the pride. You have dared to insult me? Don't you know who I am? Well, you'll find out who I am now when I destroy you and all your villages. Now, maybe we're gentlemen and gentlelady, we don't actually do it, but sometimes some of us think that way. You have dared to insult me? Well, let the world be rid of you. So, at the end of, this is just at the beginning of Krishna's Kaishara age, and this is hinting, our acharyas say, at Krishna's most relishable features in his Kaishara age, so his relationship with the Braja Gopis, and he doesn't speak it directly, Kunti Devi doesn't speak it directly, our acharyas say, is because there are very few people who actually have the capacity to understand Krishna's dealings with the gopis, because otherwise, without the actual advancement, without the right consciousness, we think it's mundane, we think it's born out of lust. Because if I was dancing with the wives of others in the middle of the night, it would be born out of lust. So therefore, Krishna must be just like me. So this is anthropomorphism, thinking God is in our image. Now, so she's offering her obeisances because I'm going slowly. Here, read this quickly, but loudly. All three.
Let me therefore.
Loudly, loudly.
Let me therefore offer my
together
obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev
and the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowmen of Vrindavan, and the 11 of the cows in the senses.
Yes. That's just like a Vedic sacrifice sounds like. And then she continues. She's looking at Krishna, who's seeing everything about him is like a lotus. So beautiful, so soft, so fragrant. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit, excuse me. My respectful obeisance is... Okay, the team.
My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flowers, decorated with garlands of lotus flowers,
as cool as the lotus and whose feet are engraved with lotuses.
Feet engraved with lotuses.
It pays to be less, doesn't it? Because that way at least you can be heard. No one should ever criticize you for being slow. In the end. She's seeing this. She's seeing Krishna, comparing him to being a lotus. In every way, he's not of this world. He's beautiful, he's fragrant, he's soft, it's cooling. And seeing him in this way is so satisfying for Kunti Devi. And then she remembers all the different... her fortune, in being saved by Krishna and Devaki in her. Excuse me, I'll read this one, okay? But you can read it slowly after me, okay? Oh, Rishikesh. Yeah, Ken, you can be like an echo. Oh, Rishikesh.
Oh, Rishikesh.
Master of the senses.
Master of the senses.
And Lord of lords.
And Lord
okay,
of lords.
Okay, now you're the echo. Okay. You have released your mother Devaki.
Yeah, released your mother Devaki.
Who is long imprisoned and distressed.
Who is long imprisoned and distressed.
By the envious King Kamsa.
By the envious King Kamsa.
So Devaki had been imprisoned by envious King Kamsa, her own brother, and made to suffer in that way. And each of the children, six children before Balaram and Krishna, were killed mercilessly by Kamsa. And you, Krishna, released them. And also myself. Okay, who's next? Yes. And me and my children.
And me and my children.
From a series of dangers.
From a series of constant dangers.
Since I didn't read it properly, you have to read it.
From a series of constant dangers.
So Devaki was saved by Krishna once. And, oh, I would love to tell you about that, but time is not on our side. About the killing of Kamsa, because he was so Kalena envious, because he heard a voice from an Akashvani, a voice from the sky that said, the eighth child will kill you. He immediately tried to kill his own sister on the day of her wedding, like Indra. And that's actually, very interesting how Indra, what brought him to his senses to realize what a great mistake he had made, Srila Jiva Goswami describes, is that one of the servants of Kamsa came. When he saw that Indra was trying to kill all the Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan, one of the servants of Kamsa came and said, "You are doing something so wonderful. You and Kamsa are the greatest of allies. This is wonderful what you're doing." And then Indra said, "What? What is going on? I have become, my acts have made aligned me with Kamsa, who is an asura." And then he said, "I have to rectify this immediately. I have to stop this immediately." Because Kamsa's mood was the same as Indra. I'm threatened in some way, subtle or gross. I'm threatened, and therefore I will kill you. You are doing something I don't like. I will kill you. You put myself in some kind of difficulty. I will kill you. Such an envious mentality. And Prabhupada explains in one of his purports that this is the very nature of the material world. It cannot be stopped. Just see, Devaki was so qualified, she was the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And her own brother put her in so much difficulty and danger. And we expect to organize our life in such a way that we will neither have difficulty nor danger or inconvenience? Very unlikely. Let us just play in class 2 something that Prabhupada said in this regard. Again in Mayapur, but only one part. Listen carefully and read as you hear.
The fact is that even Kunti or Devaki, so intimately connected with Krishna, but they are to face so many dangers. So what to speak of others? What to speak of others, ourselves. So when we are danger, we are in danger, we should not be discouraged. We should take courage. That even Kunti and Vasudev and Devaki, they were also in danger. Although they are very, very intimately connected with Krishna. So we should not be disturbed by the dangers of this material world. If we are actually Krishna conscious, we should face the danger and depend on Krishna. Avasya rakhive Krishna vishaso palam. This is called surrender. I may be in danger, but Krishna, I have surrendered to Krishna. He must save me. Keep this faith. Don't be disturbed when you are in danger, because this world is such padanga padanga vipadam. Every step there is danger. Just like we are walking on the street, immediately there is some pinprick, thorn, and by pinprick of that thorn, it may become a boil, it may become dangerous. So even by walking on the street, by talking on the street, by eating our food, there, in English it is said, there is many dangers between the cup and the lip. So you should always remember that this material world is simply full of dangers. If you think that we are very safe, we are very expert, we have made this world very happy, then you are fool number one. Padanga padanga jadabhipadam. But if you take shelter of Krishna, this danger is under him. That Kunti said, that vimochita. Vimochita means release from the danger. Aham. Sahatmaja. So this is the study of Krishna. That if you become Krishna conscious, a sincere servant of Krishna, don't be agitated by the dangerous condition of this material world. You simply depend on Krishna and He will save you. Thank you very much.
Become a sincere servant of Krishna and live your life. Meet your fate. You have to be brave to meet your fate. But depend on Krishna. Try to please Him with your life. Depend on Him because you are His. And take shelter of Him. This is so important to learn in life. And again, when the mind is fearful, it doesn't want to take shelter of Krishna. It wants to hold on to something, though. It wants to hold on to something. And this is the message, or one of the main messages of Kunti's prayers, that hold on to Krishna. Hold on to His name. Hold on to His form. Just have the consciousness filled with Krishna. And surrender. I'm in your hands. This is actually the reality of the situation. You're actually in Krishna's hands. And even if we take the medicine, the doctor gives us medicine because we have a viral infection. Not a viral infection, but because we have some problem. Unless Krishna sanctions it, the medicine won't cure us. The doctor can only prescribe, he cannot cure. Let's go back to the, and then we'll just quickly. And now Kunti Devi is going to talk about all the dangers that she's been released from, protected from. And Jagtarini Mataji has mentioned many of these already. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake. Who took the poison cake?
Beam.
From a great fire. When was that? From cannibals. Where? Who knows the village they were in? Huh? Yes, Bakasa. In Ekachakra. It's such a funny story in one sense, because they were out in the forest and Bhima was so hungry. So the family they were staying with was supposed to offer their child. And Yudhisthira was so noble and he thought, we can't let this happen. We are their guests. We have to take care of them. So they sent Bhima with a cart full of food. And Bhima was so hungry from being in the forest. He was so happy he got to eat the whole cart full. And this Bakasura was so furious. And he kept on hitting Bhima. And Bhima was so hungry, he kept on eating. He didn't want to stop. Anyway, it has a happy ending. You have protected us from the vicious assembly, a satsanga. This is Draupadi. From suffering during our exile in the forest and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Asvatthama. From the Brahmastra. So she's very, very, very thankful, grateful, dependent lover of Krishna. And she's setting such a good example, a path for all of us to follow. She's chalking out a path. Okay, we shall end right now. Just a few minutes late. And then, is Sri Radharaman here? What do we do now? And what do we do after now? Please reveal everything. And when will we return?
These are very deep questions.
Yes. One thing we should all do now, make sure that as soon as you leave, you forget everything that we talked about. Make sure, okay? No, I'm only joking. I'm done.
Do we have someone who can...
Hare Krishna. So, I'd like to thank Virajan Prabhu for his presentation, which will continue. When we come back after our long break, we will be continuing with Gurujan Prabhu and the prayers of Queen Kunti in our next session, which starts at 4 p.m. That's the time we have to, right? Like yesterday, we have to put in the right place in our consciousness. I need to be somewhere at 4 p.m. And that somewhere is right here in our sacred dome.
This, yeah, Jagtrini has named it Gova Dome.
Did he go over dome?
I built that somewhere.
Oh, just one of the devotees.
Sri Vrindavan Dome.
Oh. Sri Vrindavan Dome ki jai.
All right, so we're all going to be back here in Sri Vrindavan Dome at the feet of Giri Govardhan. Right? At 4 p.m. Now, a couple of points for the long break. Has anyone here ever been on a picnic? Nobody. Oh my God. A few. Okay. Has anyone ever been on a picnic in a sacred place? Not very responsive. It's been a long morning.
Ask another easier question.
Easier question. Is anyone hungry? Oh my God. Okay, I get the message. Make the announcements short. I got it. Alright. Well, we'll put those two together. We're going to have all of those together. We're going to have a picnic in a sacred place here in our gardens, and no one will be hungry at the end of it. Alright. So, a little different from yesterday because we've got better weather. We'll be serving out here in the gardens. You can form a queue past the tables where you'll receive your prasad. A couple of points for the long break. I think the gallery tour is filling out, but we could still put one or two more on if anyone's interested at 2:30. For those who weren't here yesterday and didn't hear, we do have facilities available if anyone wants to rest. We have men's facility, some rooms, men's and women's. There are attendants you can see, our devotee care attendants. For the men, Jimmy Peru, if you want a place to rest, you can see Jimmy. And for the mothers, for the women, Somya here in the front. You need a place to rest. Now that the weather's a bit better, you've also got a couple of other options for things you can do in your break. Right, we're right next to Whiteman Park. You can go for a Japa walk into the park. It's only a 5-minute walk. You go out our gate and you turn to the right. You follow the road into Whiteman Park. That's another nice option. You can spend time here within our sacred space. If anyone wants to come into Kirtan for Gornatai and Giriraj in the break, you're welcome. And also the other one was, if anyone wants to go and see our little Gopinath, he's in his little room, you can go and chant with him as well. So that's options for the break. Questions and answers. Last chance in this main break, long break, to write your questions and put them in the basket. Because in our last session, at the end of our closing ceremony, there will be questions and answers taken. So last chance in this long break to write questions on a piece of paper, fold it up and put it in the basket. All right. Again, Hari Bhaskar's in charge of the serving. We need someone, a couple of volunteers to help with the cleanup at the end of the prasadam. Two volunteers to help with cleaning up. Sonu and Raj, thank you very much. I think we'll be okay with the serving, but Hari Bhaskar's in charge. If you want to assist him, you just report to him if you want to assist with serving the prasad. Thank you very much. See you all at 4:00 sharp. Hare Krishna.
That was so nice of you to volunteer. I wouldn't have expected it.
I volunteered?
I heard your name.
I did too. I didn't know what I volunteered for.
To help with the cleanup.
For what?